So welcome to the shiur. Every time when we read Bereshis, that's for many, many years, and I should live to see this many more years in Yetzer Hashem, there are a few things that are really striking me as we go through the Parshiot. And we all know the famous Rav Yitzchok in the beginning of the first Rashi on the Torah, why does the Chumash started here? And the reality is that there's a lot of things that we learn from Chumash Bereshis about our Oves HaKdoshim and how to behave. And one of the things that I would like to highlight today, we spoke many times about Eliezer and Avrom and the Shiduchim and all the other things. We will just touch on them from a little different direction today. We know, all of us, the Akdomo of the Netziv. Why is Sefer Bereshis called Sefer HaYosho? And Sefer Bereshis is called Sefer HaYosho by no one, no other than Bilam HaRosho. And Bilam basically says, Tomois Nafshi Mois Yeshorim. That he wants to die the death of Yeshorim. Says the Gemara, who are those Yeshorim? It was Avrom, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So Bilam called them Yeshorim, straight. And the Gemara is describing that the Yashris of Avrom, Yitzchok, and Yaakov was that they were good with everybody. Even with the worst people, Avrom Avinu was trying to defend Sdom. Their moral compass say that they have to try to do whatever they can to defend every human being they can. And that's considered to be Yosho, that's considered to be straight. I want to talk today about how far can human logic take us to the worst place, and how far can moral justice, or Musar, or Emunah in the Rabbi Shalom, take us to the other place. I am not sure I will be able to finish everything today, but whatever we finish today, we will, and then we'll continue it next time. There are three stories in the beginning of Chumash Bereshis that each one of them is teaching us an important lesson about how evil can a human being become using a straight logic of evilness. Let's start with Do Amabul. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world of in Do Amabul, even though they did everything bad that you can imagine. The Ribono Shel Olam says that I have to destroy it, Kimala Haaretz Hamas, that the land was full of Hamas, which is basically means theft, robbery, dishonesty, call it whatever you want. And the Gemara says that Loichora va'olam ela biglal haHamas. The only crime that caused the destruction of the world was this Hamas. And we spoke many times about it, that the robbery that was happening in this in Do Amabul was not armed robbery. It was not the west side of Chicago. It was all very nice, civilized people. The Gemara described that when somebody went with a sack and he had wheat on it or some small whatever it is, and as he was walking across from one side of the street to the other, everybody took just one piece. But when he came to the other side, it was empty. And everybody felt that the one piece is good enough. I haven't caused a big damage. We'll see later on in Do Amabul something very similar. But everybody took just one piece. Ad kedei kach, that this person, if he would want to take them to court, and apparently there were courts at this time already, he couldn't take it because it was less than a shove puto. It was, the value of it was so minimal that court would not deal with it. So we're not talking about people who steal millions or whatever have you, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to destroy the world. This is not the kind of human being I wanted to have. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch has an amazing piece on what was the big sin and how was the destruction of Do Amabul from a human values standpoint. I will try to read it and translate it to the best of my ability. Says Reb Shimshon Refor Elirsh, the word Hamas, hu gezel she'eino yotze bedayanim. It is a robbery that court cannot enforce to return it. Ish Hamas, somebody who is called a person of Hamas, and it's not the one that sits in Gaza, eineno chayav bidei adam. He's somebody that another human being, another human court, cannot force him to rectify his act. Ach hu ores et chavero leat leat. But he is destroying his friend slowly, slowly. How? By committing a Hamas, by committing this small robbery again and again and again. And he says that the word Hamas is very close to the word chometz. He said chometz, the wine turns into vinegar, it's not a one-shot deal. It's done slowly, 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 till it ends up being a vinegar. He said that's the word Hamas. Hamas means it's not something that I can come and sue you in court and get back whatever damage you did to me. It's a small, continuing damage, a series of them, that each one of them on its own does not justify going to court, and court cannot enforce it. Says Reb Shimshon Refor Elirsh, we know that there was a lot of moral decay at the Dor HaMabul in terms of interpersonal relationship. It was completely free, completely, completely hefker. Says Reb Shimshon Refor Elirsh the following: Tchila hayta zo hashchata musarit. The beginning of all of it was that it was a destruction of moral values. Psha'im she'en ha'chevra ezrachit choseshet lahem. Those are the kind of quote-unquote crimes that the civil society is not so much worried about him. If the youngsters are living immorally, if married life or marital life lost its meaning, it's okay. We're not hurting anybody. We're not doing any damage. We're just living a free will society, even though the morals are completely decayed. We still think, Yachol ha-mischar le-sakseg, u-masa u-matan itnael bi-yosher. We can be morally decayed, yet we can still do business, we can still thrive, and have a business world that is thriving. Ulam says Reb Shimshon Refor Elirsh, mishenishchata ha'aretz lifnei ha'elokim, once our moral compass is gone, lo yo'ilu kol takanot ha'tzibur le'atzil et ha'chevra. Nothing is going to help. The society is doomed. Once we're losing our moral compass, that supposedly is okay, because people are doing it consensually, and it's little things. Everything is destroyed. Okay? Ashchata musarit. This is a sentence that we should remember. Ashchata musarit. The moral decay. Horeset et hamatzpun. It is destroying our conscience. And once our conscience is destroyed, the civil peace is gone. So according to Rav Shimshon Refor Elirsh, the destruction of society starts with little things that we all think is not the end of the world. It starts with moral decay, but then it moves slowly, slowly. That moral decay, that permissiveness, slowly, slowly is creeping in into our daily commercial life. It's just a little things. It's not the end of the world. He cannot take me to court for it. He cannot sue me. So if it's not okay, it's not okay. But it's not the end of the world. And from then, the distance to complete destruction is very small, says Reb Shimshon Refor Elirsh. So we're talking about a society that, according to Reb Shimshon Refor Elirsh, and that's what it sounds also from the Gemara, was a society that was very civil. There was a system of courts and everything. They just allowed themselves to do certain things to the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this civility cannot exist anymore. I have to completely destroy the whole thing. That was Dor HaMabul. Let's go to Dor HaHaflaga. There was another issue with Dor HaFlaga, and the third one we'll talk about will be our beloved city of Sdom. So, Dor HaFlaga, the Torah doesn't tell us exactly what did they do. They wanted to build a big tower. We're not sure exactly what was the wrong thing the Dor HaFlaga want to do. We know that they were more unified than the Dor of Sdom. That's what Rashi says. That's why they were not destroyed. But we're not sure what they were doing. And there's a lot of pirushim about what was the wrong doing, what the wrong things. Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch is basically saying that the biggest sin of Dor HaFlaga was communism. And I'll explain it. There is two ways of looking at individual versus society. Either society is intended to service the individual, so whatever we do, we're doing in order to service the individual, or that the society is the ultimate value, we want the good of society, and if they're in the process, we have to destroy the individual, that's fine, because we are only looking at what's good for society. So according to this logic, I'm just trying to take it now to the worst, to the extreme. If we have an individual who is a non-contributive individual to society, either because he was born and mentally or physically incapable to help, he has no use. He has no use for us, okay? Because the ultimate thing is society. I heard last week a speech by Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, a small clip. He said, the problem today is that we have educational systems and we want the individual to confront, to comply, to service the system rather than creating a system that can serve the individual. He said, if you have every morning at 7 o'clock you have to go to the gym. This is the system you created to yourself. And one morning at 7 o'clock your kid is sick. And has to be hospital. You have to run to the hospital. And you said, sorry, I have a gym now. I can't do anything. This is the system I created and I have to comply with the system. He said, that's how crooked things can be. Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch is saying that something very similar happened in Dor HaFlaga. They are saying, Na'aseh lanu. We want to build something. Now, the society is saying it. It's the entire Dor. That was the whole world at this time, he's saying. There was nothing else. It was not a huge society like we have today. It was one place, there was a group of people, and this group of people is coming and saying, Na'aseh lanu. Who are they talking to when they say Na'aseh lanu? They're talking to one of two things. Either they're talking to each and every individual in that society, and they're saying to him, that's what we have to do, or they're talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And they say, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're going to do for ourselves now a Migdal. Okay. In the minute that this individual person is being subjected to the societal needs, we gone. Okay? Im ha'yachid, I'll read it and I'll translate it. Im ha'yachid nidrash liyot eved latzibur velo la'avod et Hashem, if the individual is required to become a servant to the public, and this is becoming a goal in and of itself, not as a mean to improve the individual, then forget about all the moral values, because the moral value become what's good and what can serve the public. Okay, if somebody thinks for a minute that what can serve the public is above and beyond the basic moral values that we have, because it may be good for the public, we are doomed. The Medrash is saying on Dor HaFlaga the following. If a person fell and died, nobody paid attention. However, if a wall fell, everybody used to sit and cry, how we will be able to replace it. The value of the person it doesn't matter. We have others. But here we lost some money, we lost some monetary value. That's what used to hurt them. Says Reb Shimshon Refor Elias that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically said, if that's what you are concerned about, I have to take this tzibur, this crowd, and disperse it all over. Because otherwise, this will destroy the world by subjugating individuals to the purpose of the crowd. We will come back to it. But we know what happened when we are subjugating individuals to the crowd in terms of moral value. We spoke about the fact that if that's the case, there's no reason to leave sick people alive. There's no reason to leave unable people to perform alive because they cannot be contributors. And unfortunately, we know cases like this. Not only we know cases like this, I have to tell you that we are today living in a society that if you are sick and old, if you are older and you're sick in a hospital, you better make sure that the doctors did not give up on you. Because it's a pretty acceptable moral value today. He's sick, we don't have to take care of him. He's sick, we don't have to take care of him. I remember when I went to Rabbi Tversky, made a wedding in Switzerland a few years ago. So the grandfather of the Kala, who is the chief rabbi of Zurich, I read in the paper that he was flown with a private jet to Hadassah in Israel. To Hadassah Hospital in Israel. So when I went there, I asked the son, you have to fly somebody from Switzerland to a hospital in Israel? There was not the chief rabbi of Zurich. You couldn't get in Switzerland. He said that was not the issue. The issue is that he was 80-some years old, and the doctors decided it's not worth it. We had to fly him out to Israel. He was back at the wedding. He was at the wedding at that night. But this is a person that a few months beforehand needed to be flown with a private jet from Switzerland to Israel because the Swiss doctors basically says he's old. We're not going to spend the money on him. This is a moral value of society that if we don't have the involvement of the Ribbono Shel Olam in it, seems pretty logical. The Eskimos used to take an older person who couldn't do anything. They used to put him on a piece of ice and go to the sea. That was his end. Okay? Why? There's nothing else he can do. We know that the Nazis killed not just the Jews because they wanted to keep the purity, but they killed a lot of unable people, a lot of deformed people, because they didn't want society, not only that they could not add anything to society, but they didn't want society to have the risk that those people will reproduce and will have more genetically deformed people. So the best thing to do is to kill them. This is all done not by barbarian people. I'm giving you example now of things that are being done by normative society, and it was done 50 years ago, 5,000 years ago, and it's still being done today. We can justify almost everything that we want to justify with a pure logic. Okay, let's go now to Anshei Sdom. I have to tell you that the Daf Yomi now is Perek Chelek, the last Perek of Masechet Sanhedrin, and that Daf Yomi, I'm a few lots ahead, but there is a very vivid description in the Gemara of Anshei Sdom. What happened in this civilized society called Sdom that can bring you to just think, how can even human beings think like this, yet they gave everything their own reasoning. So the Gemara starts, Anshei Sdom en lahem chelek v'olam habo. They don't have anything in the world to come. Well, we understand it. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara brings Sukkim. Somebody had money. They used to put him next to a wall that was about to fall. And either by him leaning on the wall fell, or somebody pushed the wall on him. Okay? And the question, what happened to him? Some say that he died and then they used to take his money, but they used to make sure that this is somebody who has money without Yershin. Without Yershin. Because if he has Yershin, they cannot take the money. He has kids. Okay? Others are saying that he didn't die. They just blamed him for making the wall fall, and therefore he has to pay for it. But it was somebody They made sure that he was vetted so he can have money to pay for it. Otherwise, so the idea was, how can we extract money from someone? Not daylight robbery, because that would have been much easier. No, no, no. We want to have a valid reason why we take money. So we will create this valid reason by putting him next to a wall that will cause him to break it. The Gemara says, they said that whoever has one ox has to be the shepherd of the entire herd for one day. The one that doesn't have any has to be the shepherd of the entire herd for 2 days. Why? Because he doesn't have work. He doesn't have land. If he doesn't have land, let him do something for everybody else. But if he's already has one, now we're not talking about here getting paid for it. This is what you have to do for the city. And the Gemara telling a story that there was a little kid that went and killed everything. And he told them, you know, the one that doesn't have any ox should get 2 pieces of skin. The one that has ox should get only one. Because this is the parallel to how many days they have to go out and take those and serve as a shepherd. Gemara says that whoever had Dara Delivni, somebody built a wall very similar to Anshei Sdom, everybody went and took one. Took just one. What do you want from me? Well, I just took one little thing. That's what. But I don't have any wall now because of this. That's not me. It's everybody else. This is the... And some of them saying that they made sure, again, that it was pochais mishove puto. It was less than I could take them to court. Again, there's a court system in Sdom, but I want to make sure that I can do it without being subjected to a lawsuit. The Gemara says there were 4 dayonim in Sdom. The machlok is if they were all in Sdom, or Sdom, Amoigo, Admo, Tzvoim, where were 4 cities. But anyway, here is some of the verdicts of those dayonim that the Gemara described. The Gemara says, the machile le'ita dechavre umaplele, if somebody hit a pregnant woman, and the pregnant woman, as a result, miscarried, amrile, what did they tell the husband of this woman? Yave nehale, give your wife to this guy that just hit her, the ne'avre nehalech, and he'll bring you another kid. Logic? He just caused you to lose a kid, give her to him, he'll replace it, he'll bring you another one. The pasak le'umra dechavre, if somebody hurt the ear or made some damage to the donkey of his friend, or somebody hurt your car, they said, hava nihale, give it to donkey to this guy that just hurt him, ad dekatcha, till the ear or the damage will be replaced. Because he took from you, you know, you just had a full donkey, you want back a full donkey. If he hurt it, it's not that he has to pay for it, he's now getting rewarded for doing it. The Gemara says, the podale chavre, omule havle agre de shkilach doma. You know, one of the ways for medication at this time was to take out blood. So if somebody hurt the other one and blood came out, what did they say? You have to pay him. He just served as your doctor. Okay? All logic, quote unquote. You weren't supposed to go to the doctor tomorrow for the doctor to take out blood. Okay? So the Gemara says that Eliezer, Eved Avrom, came to Sdom one time to visit Lot. Avrom sent him to visit Lot. And he saw this, and there was another thing. The Gemara says that whoever, there was a bridge, I guess, or something, go to Sdom, whoever used the bridge has to pay $4. But if you didn't use the bridge, you used the river, I guess Jordan River or whatever have you, you have to pay $8. Because you haven't used what we built for it to do it. So the Gemara says that one time somebody came and they told him you have to pay four shekel for coming in. He said, I didn't come through the bridge. He said, oh, you have to pay him $8. Eliezer came to Sdom and he saw it. So he got involved. And he told the guy, what do you want from him? He didn't use your services. So the guy got angry at him, and the guy hit him, Eliezer. So now Eliezer is blooding, and they're coming to the judge. And the judge is telling Eliezer, hey, Eliezer, pay him because he just saved you the money of going to the doctor to remove the blood. So the Gemara said that Eliezer took a big stick and hit the judge, and the judge says, what do you do? He said, the money you have to pay me for the blood, pay it to him. Okay? That's what Eliezer did. Okay? Whatever you have to pay me for me taking the blood out of you, you pay it to him directly. Gemara says that there was a law that whoever invited a guest, had to give his shiroim, his clothing, to the people. Because guests were not welcome. Guests are just eating our wealth, they're taking away, they're not contributing anything. So Eliezer, the Gemara says, Eliezer came one time to Sdom, and there was a big party. And Eliezer goes to the party, and he sits next to somebody, and this somebody asks Eliezer, what are you doing here? And Eliezer tells him out loud, you invited me. This guy runs out because he's afraid that in a minute he's going to be left without clothing. Because he was just... And Eliezer, like this, told to the other one and to the other one till the entire hall was empty. He had all the food that he needed in the world. Using it again, the Gemara also described the famous thing that if they have a short bed and somebody long slept on it, they cut his leg. If they had a long bed, they stretched it. So the Maharshal wants to say that this is not necessarily mean like this, even though there's some explanation that there was justification for it, because they used to put the beds in such a way that one head was at the end of the legs of the other one, and in order to make sure that it always works, it's fine. But the Maharshal say, we talk about rich and poor people, that basically their taxation system was like this, that if you were rich, they would cut you as much as they can. They would take as much as you can. And if you were poor, they stretch you, says the Maharshal, the stretch you means that they would not let you get by saying, I don't have money. That they would basically force you to pay and prove and don't believe you that you don't have money. So we're talking about a city that HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually destroyed. But the city was corrupt. We know it was corrupt, but the city was corrupt in a way that its own inhabitants basically found it necessary. That's the point I'm trying to make. They found it necessary to create some logic to what they were doing. It wasn't that we are doing it just because we want to do it. It wasn't evil for the sake of evil. It was evil with a justification. When we think about what we see ourselves today, and all the arguments that we will hear from people for abortion, for not taking care of people, for allowing some people to die, whatever you want, okay, we see that it's so much conflicting with our own moral values, and we have to understand why. I am not sure that I have the reasons, really. I'm just sure about one thing, that if we are not trying to involve the Ribbono Shel Olam in our logical thinking, and just ask ourselves a very simple question, what would he want from us? Would he be happy with what we're doing? We can come to very awkward and sometimes evil decisions. Avraham Avinu, the first thing is, we really, I don't know how to say it, but if we behave immorally, it's because we don't believe either the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or we don't believe he's involved. Even if we believe that he created the world one time, but he's really not involved. He's really not really checking out everything that we do. Avraham Avinu, when he had the case with Avimelech, and Avimelech is taking his wife, and Avraham Avinu says, the Ribbono Shel Olam come to Avimelech and say, what are you doing? So Avimelech is coming to Avraham with a complaint. Why didn't you tell us that he is your wife? ויאמר רבי מלך אל אברום, מה רואיסו כי עשיתו את הדבר הזה? Why is this that you did what you did, not telling us that she's your wife? And Avrom answers him. ויאמר אברום, כי אמרתי רק אין יירס אלוהים במקום הזה, והרגוני על דבר אשתי. Listen to this. Avrom Avinu is afraid that they will kill him. They would never take her while he's alive. Because she's married. How can they take her? So what we do, we kill her. And not doing it. Says Avrom, you know why would you do that? Ki en yiras Elokim b'mokem hazeh. Because God is not involved in your moral reasoning. That's the only reason that I can explain why is this that you feel comfortable killing somebody, but not chas v'sholem, not to take his wife. The Medrash is saying, how did Avrom realize that en yiras Elokim b'mokem hazeh? Says the Medrash the following, ki ra'iti she'ish nifno lifnei isho, ve'isho lifnei ish, ve'lo mitztanim ze mizeh. I saw that that time there were public bathrooms, I guess, and I saw that a man does what he needs to do in front of women and vice versa, and there's no tznias. Lachen amarti, einam gdurim min ha'arayis. So I tell to myself, they don't have any issues with arayis. For me, the logic would be, that's why they wouldn't care to take somebody else's wife. Because they don't care. Says the Medrash, no. V'yale ha'levovom lakachas es ishti. That fact that they're not afraid of arayis, that means that they will think about taking my wife. The Yetzirah will be there, but they wouldn't take her while I'm alive. Therefore, v'yarguni al dvar ishti. So they'll kill me. Says the Medrash, lefikach somach hakodesh boruchu lo yitirtzach lelo yitinaf. Lomar kol haba legalot ervat eish yitish bizroa shu shefech domim shimimatze lo ba'ala harei umeratzchoi. So the movement from lack of morality in terms of arayis to lack of morality in terms of interpersonal behavior, things that are not accepted, are pretty progressive and natural, says the Medrash. And that's what Avraham Avinu told Avimelech. The second thing is, I think that somehow people think that the world belongs to them. Not that we are temporary residents in a world that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we are here, the world belongs to us, and therefore we can do with it whatever we want, however we want. There is also a belief that the purpose of a human being, as we said, is to help everybody, the society, and to serve and to be a servant to the society around him, and not vice versa. And if you cannot do it, if you cannot do it, you don't have a right to exist. And the biggest help that you can help society is by doing what's good for yourself, regardless of the effect that it has on anybody else. So we're living in a society today, we're living in a materialistic society, sometimes I have to say, not in a God-fearing society, that we are using our own logic. Just take the abortion argument, and you'll see how far removed, how you can come to two different conclusions. One of them is looking at this as murder, and the other one is looking at this as women's right. I have a right to my body, I can do whatever it is that I want, and it's my body. If you're not involving the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in this argument, okay, you can hear it on both sides. Because the people that are making those arguments are not evil people. But they are people who are trying to rely on their own logical conclusions rather than looking at what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants. We will just touch now on some of the other side of the coin. And the other side of the coin is going to be what happened with the Oves HaKadoshim. And I want just to start today, and hopefully we'll finish Yemetz Hashem the next time. Avraham Avinu, the whole Maaseh of Shidduch of Avraham Avinu, he is looking now for a wife to his beloved son Yitzchak. And the Torah starts, and I'll just finish with this. The Torah starts this story with a pasuk. Avram zaken baba yomim. Avram was old, very old, zaken and baba yomim. Vashem berach et Avraham bakol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avram with everything. Okay? The Rashbam asked the simple question, what do I care how much money Avram has? What do I care how much money Avram has? What does it matter to this story? That's what the Rashbam asked. Says the Rashbam the following, Hashem berach et Avraham bakol, lodi ha'amur lefaneinu, שלא שלח עבדיו לקחת אישה ממשפחתו מחוסר נשים בארץ כנען. אברום אבינו did not send Eliezer to take a wife for Yitzchak from his family in Haran. We'll talk probably next time why Dafka from Haran. Not, but there was a lot of local women. Not only that there was a lot of local women, there was a lot of women that wanted to make a shidduch. Avram was rich. Who wouldn't want to marry with a rich Avram? He was probably the richest, the wealthiest person in his generation, at least in his environment. Okay? Sharei nitbarech bakol, vekol haolam mitavim leizdaveg lo. And everybody in the world wants to marry the son of Avram. And Avram says, Eliezer, no, no. You're not going to take somebody from here. Avram Avinu could have made the shidduch of the century. The king of whatever it is, together with Avram. Can you imagine the newspapers? What would have been written, you know, the Queen of England, Avram Avinu, rich, Bill Gates getting married to the Queen of England. What else can you do? And the first thing that the Torah says is, we're going to tell you a story about the marriage, about what Avram is looking for his son. And the first thing we want to tell you is, Avram Avinu couldn't care less what the rest of the world thinks. Even though it was probably a very desirable wedding, Avraham Avinu said, this is not for my kid, because my kid, based on what I understand is morally right and morally wrong, needs something else. To be continued in Yitzhak.